The approach briefing says watch for the canyon walls. It says be aware of density altitude. It says check winds carefully, but nothing in any approach briefing prepares you for that first moment. You clear the ridge and see Johnson Creek laid out below you in a mountain valley so green and so remote that you wonder just for a second if you have somehow flown back into 1950. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp, check on radio hangar, and today we are going to Idaho. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Johnson Creek Airport. If you have been flying any length of time and you have a backcountry pilot in your circle, you have heard the name. It comes up in hushed, reverent tones at fly-ins. It is the answer to what is on your bucket list from pilots who have been flying for 20 years and have not made it out west yet. And for the pilots who have been there, it becomes the answer to where are you going this summer every single summer after. Because once you land there, you never stop wanting to go back. The strip sits in Valley County, Idaho, deep in the Payette National Forest at roughly 5,000 feet of elevation. The runway is grass, about 3,400 feet of it. The approach requires threading through terrain. The density altitude will humble you on a warm afternoon. The winds can arrive from directions that feel personally hostile, and I am telling you right now, it is one of the most spectacular places you can point an airplane and go. Let me take you there. Picture a canyon that cuts through the mountains of central Idaho, carved by Johnson Creek as it works its way down toward the South Fork of the Salmon River. The valley floor is maybe a quarter mile wide at the strip. Pine trees line the ridges on both sides. The mountains go up from there, thousands of feet above where your airplane is going to be. When you look out the side window on final approach, the trees are at your eye level, not below you, at your eye level. The grass is this extraordinary shade of green in the late spring and early summer, the kind of green you only get in mountain valleys where snowmelt feeds the soil through June. The runway blends into the meadow at the edges. There is a windsock. There is a basic parking area. There are no instrument approaches. There is no tower. There is no fuel. There is instead a sign near the end of the runway that reads something close to this: Welcome to the backcountry, land at your own risk. That sign is not being dramatic. Johnson Creek Identifier 3U2 is not an airport you stumble into. You prepare for it. You study it. You watch videos of other pilots flying the approach, and you pause and rewind and watch the terrain come up, and you think about your airplane's performance numbers and your personal minimums. Then you watch it again. The standard approach puts you flying up the Creek Canyon from the south, which means you are committed before you can see the full length of the runway. The valley bends just enough that you do not have the luxury of flying a long, straight final and getting settled. You round the corner and the runway presents itself, and you're either set up or you are going around, and a go-around at Johnson Creek means climbing out through terrain at 5,000 feet on a summer afternoon, when the density altitude may be pushing your airplane's performance to 7,000 or 8,000 feet equivalent. You need to know your airplane cold. You need to trust those numbers completely. And this is where I want to stop and be real with you for a second. Because I love this place, and I want you to love it too. Which means I want you to arrive there, and I want you to arrive safely. The backcountry flying community in Idaho, and the people who maintain strips like Johnson Creek, are enthusiastic about pilots coming out to experience this world, but they are equally clear that you need to prepare. The Idaho Aviation Association runs backcountry clinics specifically to help pilots build the skills and the judgment this environment demands. The Recreational Aviation Foundation, which advocates for backcountry strips nationwide, has resources as well. Sparky Immerson's Mountain Flying Bible remains the standard reference that experienced backcountry pilots have been citing for decades. If you're thinking about making this flight, get the training first. Fly with someone who has been there. Build your density altitude understanding until it is second nature. Okay, back to the strip. Because as real as the challenge is, the reward is extraordinary. Here is what happens when you land at Johnson Creek on a clear July morning. You shut down the engine, and the silence that comes in is the most complete silence you have experienced in your flying life. No traffic, no ground controller, no fuel trucks.
just the creek running somewhere nearby, and wind moving through the pine trees, and maybe a clerk's nutcracker calling from the ridgeline above you. You step out of the airplane, and the air smells like high-altitude Idaho, pine resin and cold water and sunshine on warm rock. There is nothing else quite like it anywhere, and then you look around at who else is there. Because you are almost certainly not alone at Johnson Creek on a summer weekend. There will be a Super Cub tied down next to a Cessna 180. There will be a Maul. There will be a Carbon Cub from some fly-in outfit, a few states over. There will be someone in an RV6 who absolutely went and got their tailwheel endorsement and did all the homework, and is very, very pleased with the decision to do so. And there will be a cluster of pilots standing near the windsock talking shop, and inside of 3 minutes someone will have drawn a terrain sketch on the back of a sectional to explain how they flew the last approach and what the wind was doing off the ridge to the northwest.
These are your people. They went and got serious about this. They found the airplanes with the right performance numbers and spent years learning to trust those numbers. They are patient with questions. They are enthusiastic about sharing what they know. Ask someone about their approach technique at Johnson Creek and be prepared to stand there for 45 minutes, because they will have opinions, and those opinions will be hard-earned. Now I want to talk about the Idaho Aviation Association, because this organization is one of the main reasons Johnson Creek and dozens of strips like it across the state of Idaho still exist and are still flyable. Idaho has more public-use backcountry airstrips than any other state in the country, north of 50, depending on how you count them. These strips serve as access points into wilderness areas, into national forests, into roadless country that is otherwise reachable only on foot or on horseback. They are the reason a fly-fishing outfitter can operate 60 miles from the nearest road. They are the reason search and rescue has a place to set down. They are the reason the wilderness feels to the pilots who use these strips like a living and accessible place rather than a picture in a magazine. Keeping these strips open is not free, and it is not automatic. The Idaho Aviation Association runs volunteer work parties to remote strips throughout the flying season. Members fly in carrying chainsaws and shovels and hand tools. They clear deadfall from the runway margins. They address erosion. They move rocks. They do the physical, unglamorous work of maintenance that a strip this remote cannot receive any other way, because you cannot drive a grader to Johnson Creek. You can only fly in and work with what you brought and what your hands can do. I have talked to pilots who have been on these work parties, and they describe the experience in terms that go well beyond routine volunteerism. You fly out to somewhere completely remote. You do genuine physical work alongside people who love this world. You have a meal together around a camp stove with the mountains all around you. And then you fly home in the late afternoon light with the strips you just maintained a little better than you found them. And that matters. It matters to every pilot who will land there next. The organization also advocates at the state and federal level for these strips, because they are not guaranteed. Wilderness designation, budget pressures, environmental review processes, all of these things put backcountry strips under periodic threat. The Idaho Aviation Association has been part of the reason the outcome has generally been good for aviation in Idaho, and they deserve sustained credit for that commitment across decades. I want to mention a few more strips in the region, because if you are planning a trip to the Idaho backcountry, they belong on your map. Sulphur Creek, about 20 miles northeast of Johnson Creek, is another classic Idaho backcountry strip. The Idaho Aviation Association has been particularly active in its maintenance. It sits in a canyon that makes Johnson Creek look like a regional airport. The approach is one of those experiences where you're flying through mountains in a way that feels fundamentally different from flying over them. Sulphur Creek is the next chapter for experienced backcountry pilots who want to keep building their library of approaches and expanding their judgment. And then there is Chamberlain Basin in the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness. If you want to understand what people mean when they say Idaho is backcountry pilot country, Chamberlain Basin is your answer. It sits in the largest roadless wilderness area in the contiguous United States. The nearest road is a very long way away in any direction. When you land at Chamberlain, you are as far from the pavement as you can get while still being in the lower 48, and the strip is there, and the mountains are there, and the wilderness just goes on in every direction until the horizon runs out, and you understand immediately why pilots devote their flying lives to this kind of access. Now here is the practical piece, because I know some of you are already looking up Johnson Creek on your charts, and I love that. If you want to start building toward backcountry flying, here is the path the community recommends. First, get your tailwheel endorsement if you do not already have one. Most of the high-performance backcountry airplanes are tail-draggers, and even if your specific airplane has a nose gear, the tailwheel training will build stick and rudder skills that matter at these strips. Second, take a dedicated mountain flying or backcountry course. The Idaho Aviation Association offers clinics. There are private instruction outfits in Idaho and Montana and Alaska that specialize in this environment. Third, fly with someone who already has the experience you are building toward. Fly with them as a passenger first, then in the left seat. Watch how they brief the approach. Watch how they manage energy through the canyon. Watch how they make the go-around decision before they actually need it. Fourth, build your density-altitude understanding until you can calculate it in your head and feel its effects in the airplane without having to consciously remind yourself to check. And then, make the trip. Make it when you're ready. Make it with the right airplane and the right preparation and the right humility. But make it. Because there is a grass runway in a mountain canyon in central Idaho at 5,000 feet of elevation, and the air up there smells like pine and cold water and the part of flying that has nothing to do with anything you can put in a logbook. And I promise you that, when you shut down and the silence rolls in and you step out onto that grass and look up at those ridge lines, you will understand why pilots come back to Johnson Creek every summer without fail, and why they will keep coming back as long as there are airplanes, and as long as the Idaho Aviation Association keeps showing up with their work gloves and their chainsaws and their genuine love for this wild, demanding, magnificent corner of the aviation world. My sources today include the Idaho Aviation Association at idahoaviation.org, the Recreational Aviation Foundation and the Mountain Flying Bible by Sparky Emerson, more at radiohangar.com. I'm Ramp. Go find a grass strip and ask yourself what is on the other side of that ridge. That is always the right question.